And so if you have a Bible, turn to Philippians in chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. And it is good to see all you teenagers. And I'm mad a couple of you have passed me up in height. But it's neat to see you mature and grow. And I'm so proud of you graduates. Many of you are, I think, in 7th grade when I first started teaching. And it's good to see you graduating and seeing what God's going to do in your life. Philippians in chapter 4 and verse number 4. Our theme this year at Lighthouse Baptist Church is rooted in Christ. Many new converts, many new Christians, and all the stories I could tell about what God's done. But I thought, you know, what better theme than being rooted in Christ? And one of the things we taught on is being rooted in joy. Being rooted in joy. And I know Miss Vicky is probably the perfect example of joy. And she's always happy. And I hope that's me as well. And I think a lot of people have lost their joy. And I'm not really teaching on that tonight, but don't ever let the devil take your joy away from you. I know there's times it's tough. And just in my congregation back in Turlock, I know what's going on in a lot of those people's lives. But a lot of them, you won't even know it. And may we be that way. Yes, there's times to hurt. Yes, there's times that you're discouraged. Yes, there's times you're disappointed. I understand that. But don't ever let the devil take your joy. May you always be happy. And today, Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, I think many of you even have that memorized. And I seem like I do this every time. I never turn to it. But I'm getting there. Philippians in chapter 4 and verse number 4. First part of the message I'll be teaching on why we should have joy. But the last part is, are you making God happy with your life? How are you living your life? And I'll kind of go into that a little bit. Philippians 4, verse 4, it says there, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, we sure do love you. I thank you so much for loving us. May you help me tonight. You know, my heart, I'd love to be with the people in Turlock. But I thank you for the privilege and opportunity and honor. I really am. That pastor would entrust me to come up here and preach and just take care of us like he already has in such a great way. And the church, and I wouldn't be anywhere else other than Turlock tonight. And I thank you for these good people. And may you help me to be a blessing tonight. Not because I'm anybody special or anybody amazing. Just because I believe you can fill me with your Holy Spirit power and you can use me. May you flow through me in a great way. And I pray. Amen. First of all, we see that joy begins at salvation. I think we all know that. And if there's anybody in here who's saved tonight and don't remember back when you accepted Christ that joy, then something's wrong with you. You should be happy about salvation. And the thought of someday I'm going to go to heaven. A lot of times, and knocking many thousands of doors, I meet a lot of people who don't think you can go to heaven. They think you just got to work your way, and hopefully you get there. Praise the Lord, we know that's not the case. Man, we can go to heaven if you've accepted Christ. Romans 15, verse 13 says, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace and believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. We rejoice because of the love of God. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We have a man that comes frequently to our church and always sits in the back row. And if you're sitting in the back row, it's no worries, I'm not talking about you. But his name is B.L. And B.L. is just a bitter, bitter, sad man. And I've always tried to be friendly and kind, and I've witnessed to him many times. But B.L. will not accept Christ. And in fact, every time I shake his hand, I said, one of those questions, I don't know if this has ever been you, Pastor, but you hesitate to ask how they're doing, because they're going to tell you. And sometimes they tell you and tell you and tell you, and you think, please, one little positive ray of sunshine would be nice. But finally, B.L. always responds with horrible. And I always say, well, I hope it gets better for you. And he says, well, you'll take the time to say hello to an old coot. I said, yeah, sure, I will. Jesus loves you. Well, he's just so bitter, so cold. He won't accept Christ. I often wonder if he should accept Christ, how much joy he'd have in his heart. A couple of weeks ago, now I met a lady out soloing and knocking doors. And it was actually a daughter of her mom. And I guess that makes sense, but a daughter. And she said, I'd like to come to church. So I went by to visit her family and follow up with her on Saturday, and the mom just gave me that look like, what are you doing here? And I said, well, I'd love for you to come tomorrow, and we just made it quick and brief, and we went to church. The next Sunday, they were all there. And like I do every Sunday, if a visitor comes, we always follow up. Me and Alicia, we'll take a bag of candy bars back by their door and just thank them for coming, give them a little gift. And she looked at that bag like, what are you doing here? And I'm thinking, I'm giving you a bag of candy. If you don't want them, I'll take them. You know, I mean, it's free. It's a bag of candy. And it's just a coldness. And I thought, wow. And so I left, and I said, Alicia, I said, we'll go back one more time, but I don't think they're going to come back. Well, they came back again that next Sunday. So I said, we're going to go back one more time, and I'm going to try to witness to her. So we prayed about it, and we scheduled an appointment, and we went back, and I said, Pam, I'd like to share some good news with you. She said, I'd like to hear it. Went through the whole plan of salvation and got to the very end where you just had to accept Christ. And I said, would you like to do it? She looked at me and she said, are you crazy? I said, I don't think so. Love for you to get. She goes, why wouldn't I want to? She said, that's the best news in the whole world. She says, please, what do I got to do? And so we went to the sinner's prayer and she accepted Christ. Pam is a very simple lady, very simple family. And I love them to death, but it's amazing to watch as they grow, though, spiritually. She just soaks up everything from the Bible. This spring, I challenged our people to just win one person to Christ this year, just one. Now, I always tell them to win one, I want them to win two. But don't stop there, but just win one. I said, if you can't lead them to Christ personally, just go out and invite someone to church, and maybe they'll get saved and they come to church. Pam got excited about that. And she's so far brought over 25 people to church. I've been able to lead about half our church of people. I've led about half of them to Christ. And her face, and you can ask Miss Alicia, she's always smiling. She stays and helps tear. We have to tear down and set up everything every week. She's there. She never misses a service, her and her family and her girls. And you can see the joy of the Lord in her face. I often pray, God, don't ever let me be away from that. May I always have that joy. I've been saved now since I was 10 years old. It's been 17 years. I'm just as excited as I was as that 10-year-old boy who cried when I accepted Christ. I was so happy. I didn't have to worry about going to hell anymore. And may that be our point. Why can we be joyful? Because we're saved. Our names are written in the book of life. I told the people when I preached this sermon, I said, I remember the time when my dad was building onto one of the buildings and he put cement down there at the farm. And he let us write our names in there in the concrete and put our hands in there. And we got to see how big our hands were getting throughout the years. And I think that's never going to be taken out. That's always in there. That's what our name is in the book of life. We never can be taken out. Man, that's reasons for joy. So we see, first of all, joy begins at salvation. Second of all, joy is the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. See, once you accept Christ and God's living within you, joy should be coming out of you. If you're always disappointed and discouraged, and I understand that times happen, we live in a tough world. But if you're never joyful, well, let Jesus Christ live through you. Let it be out and bear that fruit. We should also show forth our joy. We should show forth our joy greatly. Zechariah 9:9 says, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. Why should we rejoice greatly? Because Jesus is coming again. We see next our joy should be abundant. 2 Corinthians 8:2 says, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. The people of Corinth there were going through a great trial, but they still had joy. I'll never let joy get taken from you. Exceeding joy, for thou hast made him most blessed forever. Thou hast made him exceeding glad with thy countenance. Unspeakable and full of glory joy. 1 Peter 1:8, whom having not seen, ye love, and whom now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Constant joy. 2 Corinthians 6:10, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, and yet possessing all things. Constant joy. I was I went to my brother and sister's graduation this week in Indiana, and I was privileged to be able to preach for that, and I so enjoyed that. I thought, you know, I'll bring Brian with me so mom and dad, grandpa and grandma can see him. And Alicia wasn't able to go, but I thought, I'll just take Brian. Everybody said how amazing of a dad I was and how honorable that was, and I'm thinking, what are you talking about? Well, I got to find out pretty quick as I went through the security lines and had a car seat on one shoulder and had the bags and diaper bags and good night, how much a little 20-pound baby can have, and have all that and trying to get through all security, and finally got to my gate, only to find out I missed it by 1 minute. Southwest was nice enough to give my seat to someone else who was waiting. I said, that's not right. I paid for that. Well, you don't know about the 10-minute rule, do you? I said, no. They're like, well, you're not supposed to. I know you're not supposed to know, but that's the way it is. It's in your contract. I said, okay. What's my next option? Well, you need to be here for 2 hours, and then you might be able to get on a plane to Phoenix. And then from Phoenix, hopefully, you'll be able to go to Kansas City. And then from Kansas City, you might be able to go to Indianapolis. I said, sir, do you realize I have a 1-year-old son here? And keeping him happy is not going to, well, that's just what we can do. You know, we love you here at Southwest. Oh, sure, okay. And so, and finally we get from that and finally get on that plane. Finally sit down and we get to Phoenix. So excited, I go to check and they said, now I can't give you a boarding pass for Phoenix until you get there because you're on standby. But there's half a plane open, you're fine. So I get there and I check in. I'm thinking, great, I can bring his car seat on the plane. He can sit beside me. That'll be phenomenal. I get there and they said, oh, there's no room on that plane. I said, you got to be kidding me. They said, no, that's true. I said, all right. I said, what's my options? Well, you can go to this one and this one and this one. I said, okay, just as long as I get to Indianapolis tonight. Finally, long story short, I finally got to Indianapolis at 3. I got home at 3 in the morning. I started in Turlock at 6 in the morning. And it was a long day. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying sometimes it's hard to have constant joy. I'll be the first to admit I wasn't joyful all day. As we touched down in Indianapolis and finally got home, Brian, of course, had slept fine all day, decided he wanted to play. And for 2.5 hours, I'm trying to stay awake playing when I finally get to bed at 5:30 in the morning. But you know what? That's an extreme case. I know that was kind of a jokingly illustration, but we can still have joy. I could have got mad and bitter and aggravated and could have ruined my day, but it wouldn't have changed things any. I still would have been stuck on that plane. But I thank God I could be joyful. Got to sit beside someone, got to talk to them about church and the things of the Lord, and it's just a blessing. Constant joy. We see forevermore joy. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 says, rejoice evermore. With awe, with respect, Psalms 2:11, serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. And hope we should joy. Romans 12:12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Under trials we should be joyful. In James 1:2 it says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Under persecutions, Matthew 5:11 and 12 says, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they, the prophets which were before you. I got to rejoice when phones go off in the service. No, I'm just kidding. But rejoicing. I remember when I just got there in the church, a great family was just amazing to us. Just always helping us out and giving us stuff and loving on Brian. And found out a couple months later they didn't agree with what we agreed with. And I even talked to the pastor about it. And we found it was time for them to move on. They weren't right for us, and we thought we left on good terms, only to find out they went to every church family and started talking to them. Man, that was hard times for me. It was hard when I heard their last name mentioned, not to get upset. But you know what? I just had to stay joyful. You know, there's times in our life when it's not fun to be joyful. But I thank God for Pastor Mutchler, who was joyful. I remember times when he would probably share with me stuff that he wouldn't share it with everybody. But praise the Lord, you wouldn't know it in the pulpit. He always is smiling and always joyful. I praise God for that. Are you joyful under calamities? Are you joyful in your song? Expressed in hymns. Ephesians 5:19 says, speaking yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. See, last of all, and I'll hasten, the joy of God over His people. See, first of all, why are we happy? Why should we be joyful? Because of our salvation. Book of Life is because it's a fruit of the Spirit. But next, how should we? We talked about 11 things there. But last of all, how do we make God happy? I know I'm young still, but oftentimes I think in my life, and I look back and see, and 9 years ago, at my brother and sister's graduation is when I graduated. And I look back through life and I think, am I making God happy with my life? A couple people that I looked up to for many years, I've just done wrong and quit in the ministry and whatnot. And that's not the norm, but that has happened. But I think, I look back and say, am I making God happy? Not pleasing other people, but am I making God joyful over me? When God looks down at me, does He say, I love Justin Lehman? Or does He say, man, I don't like that guy. I wish he would do this and this and this better. I got to thinking a few things that makes God happy. First of all, if you could turn to Zephaniah in chapter 3. Zephaniah chapter 3. And say, where is that? It's in, toward the end of the Old Testament there. Zephaniah in chapter 3. Haggai, right before Haggai there. Zephaniah in chapter 3 and verse 17. Zechariah 3 and verse 17. It says there, if you're there, let me grab a drink real quick. It says, the Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. The next phrase there, He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in His love. He will joy over thee with singing. So why does God rejoice? On account of my repentance. Luke chapter 15 verse 7, it says, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons, which need no repentance. I thank God that I made Jesus happy when I accepted Him. But even more so, over every sinner that repenteth. When is the last time you got to lead someone to Christ? Or maybe you got to be influential in it. I often tell our people, I know it's hard and you may not know what to say, but invite them to church where they can hear the gospel. Maybe take someone with you who knows how to witness to them. When's the last time you were responsible for that? Number two, why what brings joy of God over His people? Well, their faith. Hebrews 11:5 says, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had his testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Probably one of the hardest things I had to learn when I went to Turlock is faith. Just trusting God. Everything's going to be okay. Preaching one thing and having to live it as people watch you. But you know what? God blesses faith. He blessed Enoch for his faith. What brings joy to God? A life of faith. When's the last time you took a step out by faith? Maybe not financially. Maybe it was spiritually. Maybe you challenged God that He would do something special in your life. And say, God, please, help me in this area. Maybe you challenge God in the life of faith in a relationship. Maybe you'd like something to improve or become stronger or become closer. And say, God, I want to trust You on this. I want to take a step of faith. When's the last time? Maybe in ministry. Say, man, I'd like to do a little bit more. I'd like to be, my cause be a little more for Christ. On a bus route or a Sunday school class and GLM or whatever it might be. Say, God, I'm going to test You a little bit. I'm going to go out by faith here and I'm asking You to come through. And that brings joy to God. We see next the fear of Him. Psalms 147, verse 11. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear Him and those that hope in His mercy. So you fear God. Oftentimes, when someone comes to visit, I'll take them to Yosemite National Park. It's about an hour and a half away. It truly is one of the most beautiful places in the world. If you haven't gone, you should go. It's amazing. But I love taking people who've never seen it before and watching their face as it lights up, and they always say the same thing. Wow, this is amazing. That's how I look at fearing God. When I look at God, I say, wow, God, You're amazing. I get to spend time in Your Word this morning. If we would come to God's Word like that, wow, God, I get to read Your Word. I think it would change a lot of us. If we looked at it that way, do you fear God? We see next, how do you bring joy to God? praying to him. Proverbs 15:8 says, "A sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight." The prayer of the righteous one, it delights the Lord. Do you delight God in your prayer? Hope in his mercy. Number 5, the Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him, and those that hope in his mercy and the meekness. For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Are you a meek person? Are you a humble person? Last of all, the Lord, what brings joy to God? An unrighteous life. 1 Chronicles 29:17 says, "I know also, my God, that thou triest the heart, and has pleasure in uprighteousness. As for me and the uprighteousness of mine heart, I have willingly offered all these things. Now have I seen with joy thy people, which are present here, to offer willingly unto thee." Do you live a life of righteousness? Do you live a life of uprightness? When God sees you, does he say, "Wow, he's trying to serve me with his life. He's living his life in such a way that it pleases me. Man, that brings joy to me." Last of all, I find joy. God, making God happy leads him to doing some pretty awesome things for us. One thing amazes me about God is here he died on the cross to pay for our sins. And man, he deserves our love. He deserves everything we have. He deserves our life. But he doesn't stop there. He chooses to bless us on top of that. What is the joy? What does making God happy with us lead God to do? Deuteronomy 39 says, "And the Lord thy God will make thee plenteous in every work of thine hand, and the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy land for good. For the Lord will again rejoice over thee for good, as he rejoiced over thy fathers." I see, first of all, when we make God happy, he chooses to prosper us. Say, "I'd love to be successful and prosperous in my life." I remember when I was a college and career teacher here, and oftentimes talking to young adults and saying, "What do you want? I want to be successful and prosperous." Well, live a righteous life. Live a life that's pleasing to God. Live a life according to Scriptures. If you live a life according to Scriptures, you won't have a problem with working hard. If you live a life according to Scriptures, you won't have a problem with obeying His commandments and doing right. We see next, what does joy lead God to do? Do them good. Jeremiah 32:41 says, "Yea, I will rejoice over them to do them good, and I will plant them in this land assuredly with my whole heart and with my whole soul." I don't know about you, but I want God to do me good. I don't know if you've ever done this, but occasionally I'll go to McDonald's and I'll order something, and sometimes they'll mess it up, or sometimes they'll have an extra one laying around, and they say, "Hey, do you want this? It's yours." I don't know if it does my body any good, but I like it when they do good to me like that. No, I want to please God. I want God to do good to me. Well, how does that happen? Live a life that's bringing joy to Him. We see that it causes God to deliver His people. 2 Samuel 22:20 says, "He brought me forth and also into a large place. He delivered me because He delighted in me." You want deliverance in your life? You're struggling with something? Live your life pleasing to God, and it will bring joy to Him and cause Him to deliver them. It causes Him to comfort them. Isaiah 65:19 says, "And I will rejoice in Jerusalem and join my people, and the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying." Next of all, it causes Him to give them an inheritance. Numbers 14:8 says, "If the Lord delight in us, then He will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey." So I'm trying to say tonight, if you live a life that makes God happy over yourself, everything's going to be okay. God's just going to take care of you. The problem is doing it, living it. I have a gym membership, and at one time I was doing very well with it. But here lately I haven't been doing it. Part of it was knocking all those doors, but you know, I've gained a few pounds back that I lost. I know it doesn't look like it, but I have. You know, that gym membership does nothing for me except for makes me feel good that I have it if I don't go. And you know what? Usually the easy thing of the Christian life, the easy principles that we're taught and we learn, they're really easy to learn. But it's doing it that makes or breaks it. Last of all, turn to Isaiah chapter 62. I believe this verse kind of just ties it together. Isaiah in chapter 62 and verse number 5. Bringing joy. Bringing joy to God. Isaiah 62 verse 5. It says there, if you're there, if not, just listen. For as a young man marrieth a virgin, so shall thy sons marry thee. And as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall thy God rejoice over thee. Probably one of the happiest days of my life, except for accepting Christ, was happened right here at Granby Baptist Church. Happened actually on this stage with Pastor Musler here. And Alicia was right here when we got married. What joy that brought me and still brings me. I thank God for a godly wife that's gotten behind me. I couldn't have done, like Pastor said, I couldn't do anything much in the ministry without her. Just a constant companion that loves me. But you know what? That delight that I have and still have, which I don't know how to describe it. It's one of the best things that's ever happened to me. It's the same delight that Jesus Christ has when we bring joy to Him by living a life that's pleasing to Him. By living a life, a prayer life, reading our Bible, walking with Him, leading people to Christ, hoping in His mercy, fearing God, living a life of meekness, humility, living an uprighteous life. Boy, especially in this day and age, that's getting harder and harder. But it's worth it. Living a life of holiness. Couldn't help but think, man, if that brings that much joy to Christ, I want to do it. I'd be crazy not to. So first of all, we see the reasons of our joy comes with salvation. And you may be sitting here tonight saying, wow, maybe that's why I don't have true joy. I've never accepted Christ. I don't know how to go to heaven. And tonight's the night of salvation. Get that settled tonight. We also see we joy because our name's written in the book of life. But also it's because it's the fruit of the Spirit. It should be coming out of us. We saw 11 different things that our joy should be. And last of all, we saw that Jesus Christ brings joy when we fear Him, we pray to Him, hope in mercy and meekness. And whenever I find the other page, I'll say the other two. But when we repent and we have a life of faith, and last of all, just leads Him to prosper us, do them good, deliver them and comfort them, and give them their inheritance.